Now I'll ask for questions. Oh, and by the way, to any jurists who are here, I recommend writing articles about software patents separately from articles about free software. If you cover them in one article together, people may get the idea that software patents are only bad for free software developers and they're okay for other software developers. This is not true. If you think back over what I've said, hardly any of it relates to the question of whether the programs are free or not. The dangers are the same for all software developers. So please don't take the risk that people will get confused. Write separate articles.
And the other regarding software patents?
Well, let's ask the one about let's ask only questions about software patents now.
Right. So you said that companies like IBM are harmed about 10 times as much as they benefit.
No. What I said is the harm that would have happened to them is 10 times the benefit. But this harm is purely theoretical. It doesn't occur. You see, they avoid it through cross-licensing. So in fact, the harm does not happen. Only
but
the
it
benefit.
Is only neutralized, right?
What did you say?
But it's only neutralized. They don't really benefit because they're...
Well, they do, you see, because the bad aspect they avoid through cross-licensing. And meanwhile, they do collect money from some other licensees. So they're benefiting in total. There's the small benefit which happens and the big potential harm which does not happen. So you have zero plus something.
But for that something, they'll oppose this movement against patents.
Right, because IBM favors software patents. I have trouble on, I couldn't hear all the words in your sentence. I don't know whether there was a not in it. And I couldn't tell. There are two diametrically opposite meanings that you might have for what you just said. So all I can do is make sure the situation is clear. IBM favors software patents. IBM thinks it stands to gain a lot from software patents. And what it stands to gain is that the IBM and the other very big companies will basically control software development because it will be very hard to do independent software development. To develop non-trivial programs, you're going to have to infringe patents of IBM's. Now, if you're big enough and lucky enough, you might have some patents of your own and make IBM cross-license with you. Otherwise, you're completely at their mercy, and you have to hope that they just let you pay them money. Well, someone there is asking.
So what was the reason for the development of the software patent?
Well, in the US, there was no reason. Somebody tried to get a patent that was a software patent, and I think the patent office said no, so he took it to court, and eventually it went to the Supreme Court, and they didn't judge it as a public policy question. They judged it in terms of what does the law say?
So was it not the realization that copyright...
I'm afraid I can't... Could you try to pronounce your consonants more clearly? I'm having trouble understanding the words.
So was it not the realization that copyright is notoriously weak for protecting software?
Because copyright is not always what?
Notoriously weak.
Well, I think the whole sentence is nonsensical. I don't understand this term protecting software, and I don't agree with you.
Thank you, sir.
So, when you're
most
saying,
programmers don't agree with you.
So, when you're saying that you are not favoring protection of software, and you yourself is giving general public license, where do you get that power to issue general public license?
Well, you're asking questions about copyright and free software, which is not the topic. Now, I will accept questions about that later on, but I gave a speech about software patents, and I want to answer questions about software patents.
So I have a question on software patents, sir. The thing is that how can one protect where there is a functional element?
Protect
with
what? Protect
functional
what?
Element.
What's going to happen to them?
So how can we get a protection when there is a
protection from what? Is somebody going to come with a gun?
No, sir.
Basically, the protection you need is the protection against being sued for the program you wrote. Programmers need protection from software patents.
No, it's not the programmers themselves, sir. They are companies who are invested in something.
And do you want the company to get sued? Because in your large program, there are five different things that five different people already patented. No, it's clear to see the myth that you are operating on. It's the naive idea that when you develop a program, you will have the patent. Well, the idea that it's that very statement contains a mistake, because there's no such thing as the patent. When you develop a program with many different things in it, there are many things, each of which might be patented by somebody else already. And you find out about them one by one when they come to you saying either pay us a lot of money or else shut down. And when you've dealt with five of them, you never know when number six is going to come along. It's much safer to be in the software field if you know you're not going to get sued as long as you wrote the program yourself. That's the way it was before software patents. If you wrote the program yourself, there was nothing to sue you about. Today, you can write the program yourself. It may even be a useful and innovative program, but because you didn't reinvent the whole field, you used some ideas that were already known, other people sue you. Now, of course, those people who want to go around suing you, they are going to pretend that this extortion is protection for them. Protection from what? Protection from having competitors, I guess. They don't believe in competition. They want monopolies. Well, to hell with them. It's not good for the public that they should get what they want. This is a question of public policy. We have to decide what is good for the citizens generally. Not have somebody saying, I want to have a monopoly because I think I'm so important, I should have one. So protect me from anybody else being allowed to develop software.
You are suggesting that we could avoid making this country, say, a battleground for patents if we decide not to have software patents here. But don't we still have to deal with the problem that there are lots of American products being sold here and being used for the whole thing, and
well,
they are still going to be restricting
you? Well, no. Listen, you've misunderstood.
Yeah.
U.S. developers may be in trouble because of the patent system, and what effect will that have? It means that there's certain products that won't be coming from the U.S. and therefore they won't be sold in the U.S. or here. You see, if the developer is in the U.S. and there's a U.S. software patent, that software developer is going to get sued there. Whether or not he tries to deal with anybody in India, he's going to get sued. But the fact that he's distributing the program in India is not going to cause him an additional problem, because that's under the jurisdiction of India. That's the one thing he will not get sued for. So basically what it means is whatever exists can be distributed in India safely, and the developers who are lucky enough to be in India will be safe from this kind of gang warfare, and those who are unlucky enough to be in the U.S. will not be safe.
So, are you basically against the very concept of intellectual property rights?
As I said at the beginning, that it's foolish to even think about that topic. That topic is an overgeneralization. It lumps together totally different things like copyrights and patents. And so any opinion about, quote, intellectual property is a foolish one. I don't have an opinion about intellectual property. I have opinions about copyrights, and I have completely different opinions about patents. And even in the area of patents, you know, I have different opinions in different fields. Even that area is a big area. And then there are trademarks, which are also called intellectual property, I think trademarks are basically a good idea. You know, the US has taken trademark law a little too far, but basically it's reasonable to have labels that you can rely on. So, you know, you shouldn't try to have an opinion about intellectual property. If you're thinking about intellectual property, you're thinking at a simplistic level, and any conclusions you reach will be simplistic. So do as I do, you know, pick one topic at a time and focus on it and find out the details about that one area. Then you can think intelligently about that area, and later on you can think about intelligently about the other areas too.
So there is an argument that if particular intellectual property right is not protected,
I'm sorry, what you're saying makes no sense at all, because so it's at this foolish general level.
Let me complete, sir. So if that particular intellectual property right is not protected, it may impede the investment, and the impediment
this of general, this generalistic thinking is so simplistic, it's totally stupid. It makes no sense at all.
So don't you think that these
there is no principle of intellectual property. Copyrights and patents and trademarks originated completely separately. They have nothing in common, except later somebody else made up this term intellectual property to call them all by.
So will you extend this concept to the physical property?
No, I'm sorry. None of these things has anything to do with physical property rights. They're totally different. So when you say extend this concept, which is this concept? The idea that the term intellectual property is a generalization that leads you into simplistic thinking, should we apply that to physical property? No, they're totally different. They have nothing in common.
So the basis under which this intellectual property is protected is protect the labor, intellectual labor.
No, you're totally wrong. You're totally wrong. The purpose of, you have been brainwashed, you've been listening to the propaganda of the companies that want to have these monopolies. If you ask what legal scholars say is the basis of these systems, they say that their attempts that, well, for copyright and for patent, they are attempts to manipulate the behavior of people to get benefit for the public. Trademarks are a different issue. I think the issues for trademarks are completely different. So, I mean, you're making an overgeneralization also.
So why can't we extend the very same principle?
But in any case, your principle is wrong. And if you take a look at that economic research on www.researchoninnovation.org, you will see that you were making naive statements, naive blanket statements, that are simply not true. You've got this silly idea that creating a monopoly over some aspect of life always, invariably, makes that aspect of life thrive. Well, this is dumb. Occasionally it might work, and occasionally it causes a lot of trouble.
So don't you think that the same kind of monopoly is created in favor of a party when he owns a physical property?
I'm sorry, I can't hear him.
So don't you think that the same kind of monopoly rights are created if a particular physical property is allowed to be owned by a person, just like an intellectual property?
Physical property can only be in one place at a time. You know, only one person can sit in a chair at a time in a normal way. You know, these are totally different issues. You know, trying to generalize to the utmost is a foolish thing to do. We're dealing with complicated laws that have many, many, many complicated details. And you're asking us to ignore all these details. We're dealing with laws that have complicated effects in various fields. And you're asking us to ignore the details of their effects. Don't bother judging this program by its results. I think that if we're talking about a public policy issue, we've got to look at the actual results of the policy, not some myth as to what results a certain ideology would predict. I'm telling you the real results. I'm telling you what I've seen and what other programmers have seen.
So what about the software that comes under the purview of patents should be...
I don't hear that.
S-
So what about the LZW patent? Is it
what about the what?
LZW patent.
The LZW patent.
Yeah. Is it still in effect?
Yes, it is. Well, there are actually two LZW patents, as I explained to you. And they're both still in effect.
So it's for 20 years?
Yeah, it's not 20 years yet.
So can we reduce the scope of the problem by reducing the period of the patent?
Definitely you could. If there were software patents, but they only lasted for
5 years,
say 5 years or 3 years, that would mostly solve the problem. Yes, it's a pain to have to wait 3 or 5 years, but it's much, much less of a pain.
It will promote at least
But there's a difficulty there. The GATT agreement says that patents must last 20 years. So, the only way you could have something like software patents which lasted for 3 or 5 years is as follows. First, make it clear that ordinary patents do not apply. And second, if you wish, you could create a different system of 5-year software idea monopolies. Well, it's not clear that there is any particular benefit in these 5-year software monopolies, but it would be much better than the current situation. So if you found the government prepared to make this deal, well, I'd say we should take it. But we have to realize, though, that the first step is to abolish software patents, strictly speaking, and that has to be part of this deal.
And patent has also now become a thing of business.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you at all. Could you speak louder?
So patent has now become a way of making money by businesses rather than promoting inventions.
Yes, a lot of them use it that way.
So can we reduce this problem further by assigning the patent to the actual inventor rather than a business?
Not really. What you'll find is that aspect of the relationship between the employee and the business is something that gets negotiated, and the business has more clout. So they're always going to end up arranging to have the employee hand the patent to the company. The other thing is that it doesn't make a big difference who owns the patent. The point is that you're prohibited from developing a program using that idea, and it may make some difference precisely who has the power to sue you, but what you really want is not to be sued at all. So why look for a half measure like this? It's much better just to say that software shouldn't have patents. Look, if you're going to pass a note, you better read it out loud. Any other questions?
People in Malaysia say that if we buy a PC there, the amount of money you would pay for all the standard software you get is about a tenth of what you would pay in this country. In Malaysia, they are a little more relaxed about patents, copyright. Is that
something
to do with what you're talking about?
I'm not sure what you're talking about, because you seem to be mixing together copyrights and patents. I'm not sure if what you're talking about has anything to do with the issue of software patents.
Precisely, that's what I want to know, whether this is something to do with patents. The fact
probably
that
not.
Different countries, depending on how much, whether they're part of WTO or not part of WTO,
probably, you see, I don't know for certain because I don't know what's going on there. I've never been there, but I suspect that it's a matter of copyrights and has nothing to do with patents. Because if you're talking about the same programs, remember, software patents are primarily a restriction on software developers. So it's the same program, and if it was developed, say, in the US, the patent problems they have are independent of, the patent problems they have are biggest in the US, not in either India or Malaysia. So that probably has to do with copyright, not patents. And that's a totally different issue. We mustn't lump these issues together.